Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Let's look into the word of God. Hallelujah. So on Sunday, 3 days ago, or 4 days ago, I started talking to those of us who are online and those of us who are in the service about why prophecies fail. Why prophecies fail. Now, this is another part of that message. But today, I have titled this, How to Engage Your Prophecy. How to Engage Your Prophecy. So please, I want you to pick your notes. I want you to get ready, get your pen, and try to write as much as possible. We are live on Facebook, we are live on YouTube, we are live on Mixlr, and we are live on Zoom. So you can always go back to any of these places, and you can still get access to the messages. Praise God. Preferably YouTube. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing I want to say to you here is that God wants to speak to you. It is God's greatest desire that He can speak with His children, and that His children can speak to Him. The most powerful form of prayer is that prayer that is born out of a conversation with the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you and you respond in the place of prayer, you get some of the most amazing results. Now, the ability to hear God, which is what we refer to as prophecy, which means for God to speak forth. The ability to hear God is one of the greatest strengths of any believer. The ability to go on your knees and seek the face of God and to be able to come back with clear answers is one of the greatest advantage any believer can have. Now, one of the things that the enemy tries to do, and please, I want you to pay attention. One of the things the enemy tries to do is to commonize that which God considers holy, and to call outdated that which God calls His perfect will. So, when the enemy came in the Garden of Eden, the enemy didn't come after Adam, neither did he come after Eve. The attack against that couple in the garden was against the word of the Lord. What the serpent asked was, as the Lord said. And please, I want you to pay attention, because most of the times we have quite a number of people who know what the Bible says. People can quote the Bible. But what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? These are the issues. This is where the challenges are. It's very convenient to hear God when there is nothing at stake. It's very easy to hear God, and when there's no pressure. But when God gives you a particular word, when God gives you as His child a particular instruction or a particular promise, and then He says, look, wait for this thing, it will happen. The next thing the enemy is going to do is to question that particular instruction. Why is this? Many times, because when God speaks to us, God speaks into our spirits, and then the information flows into our mind. Now, the challenge with this is that God is not the only one that speaks into our mind. The devil also speaks there. How does the devil speak to our mind? He does that by suggestions. Every time the devil wants to tell you, oh, look at that girl, she's very attractive. The devil never speaks to believers by instruction. Satan Please, I want you to note this thing. Satan does not speak to believers by instruction. He speaks to believers by suggestion. God is the one that speaks to his children by instructions. And you can read the book of Proverbs and you will find quite a bit of my son, pay attention to my instructions, follow the path of wisdom, you know, and so on and so forth. So this is very, very important. It's not something that maybe anybody could just wish away, you know, and assume that that is something that will just go away. It's not going to go away. This is the mind of God. This is the heart of God. That man shall live daily by the word of the Lord and not by what people say, not by what is popular. So when the enemy came in the garden, what the enemy came to question was the word of the Lord to Adam and Eve. He said, as God said, you shall not touch of eat of every tree in the garden. You see, the devil wanted to be sure that they understood the instruction. Because many times, that is what the devil also does. He comes to us and he suggests. You know, I said to you that the devil speaks by suggestion. When he came to Eve in the garden, he came by suggestion. He came by suggestion. Then he wants to see how much of what you say that you know, how much of what you say you know that you actually know and you believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is very important because some of you, you know, it's very amazing when you see believers who don't know the voice of God but can almost tell with a strong certainty when the devil talks. That is not a good sign. It's not a good sign for you as a believer to know the voice of Satan and not to be sure about the voice of God. Anytime that happens, then we need to look into the life of that believer and begin to ask certain questions. I dare say to you that the reason why many prayers are unanswered is because many do not know what God is saying or where God stands on a particular matter. Again, this is very, very important. So I shared with you on Sunday why prophecies fail. Today I want to share with you how to engage with your prophecy. So let me read first of all from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. He said, for prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Look at the NIV version. He said, for prophecy never had its origin. I love this translation. He said, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. Every time somebody says, God spoke to me. What God is saying is that my word never has its origin. It doesn't have its root. You cannot trace God's, you cannot change the origin of what I say to how you feel. You cannot change the origin of what I say to what you want. The word of God, the revealed word of God, the prophetic word of God never has its root and origin in what a man wants. You may want a Cherokee, you may want an helicopter, you may want a jet, whatever it is you want. God's word concerning that matter, you may want a wife, you may want a husband, you may want a job. God said, my mind on that issue will never be rooted in what man wants. It will never be rooted in what that man feels like. He said, but men spoke He said men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh my God, this is such a powerful word. Men spoke as they were carried along. As they were carried along. So the Holy Spirit guides us. And you look at the book of John, and I'm going to show you that in a bit. Our Lord Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. So why many are having some of this difficulty, it's not because God is not speaking, but they are not seeing the guidance. They are not following the guidance. They don't know the way of the eagle in the air. Praise God. This is so important. Hallelujah. They don't know the way of the eagle in the air. Look at the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20. What does the word of God say to us? This is such a very powerful one. Look at this. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. This is the popular scripture, and this is the NLT version. In the King James Version, do despise not prophesies. But look at how the modern English captures it. It says what? He said in the NIV, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Do you know what it means to treat something with contempt? It is this is what God is saying to you alone. You just say, oh, no, forget about that. Especially when you don't even know what God is saying. And yet, you have the guts or the effrontery to treat a prophetic word. Listen to me, every prophecy that is given is for your salvation, is for your peace. He said, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Let me show you what another version says. In NLT, he says, do not scoff at prophecies. Hallelujah. He said, do not scoff at prophecies. You see, there are great punishments for scoffers in the Bible. He said, do not scoff at prophecies. Praise God. Now, these are very, very important things. You know, they sound very basic, but believe me, a lot of things can happen for you in your favor if you just embrace these first few minutes of what I've just shared with you. The challenge many times is that we listen to God's word, but we decide in our mind how we want to engage with it. We decide in our minds how we want to engage with it. What God expects when He gives us His word is that He expects us to submit ourselves and humble ourselves at His word. He expects us to humble ourselves at His word. Hallelujah. God expects us to humble ourselves at His word. He doesn't want us to have this casual attitude. And I'm telling you why this thing doesn't work for a lot of people. A lot of people are very casual. A lot of people are very casual when it has to do with God's word. A lot of people are very casual. And people that are casual are usually very careless. People that are very casual, they are usually very, very careless. The scripture says, do not despise prophesying. Do not scoff at prophecies. God wants us to accept His spoken word. Listen to me. The word of God says, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Now, you see, let me see if I can get you a scripture here. I believe, I want to see if I can quickly get this one out. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 63. It said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. The very words I have spoken to you are spirit and their life. The moment God speaks those words in prophecy, the moment God speaks to you by reason of instruction by his word, those words take the form of spirit. They go into your life, they go into your future, they begin to set you apart from great things. That is why it is an insult. It is an insult to look down upon the word of the Lord simply because you suspect that the word has been delayed. It is an insult to the integrity of God to look down on his word simply because you think you've not gotten answers. Hallelujah. Please continue to take your notes. Now, let me try and hurry up a bit. In John chapter 16 and verse 13. In John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus was talking to us about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was talking to us about the Holy Spirit, and he called him, he said, when he comes, he will lead us into all truth. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. My brothers, when he said all truth, he meant all truth. He said he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak his own message, but will tell you what he has heard. Praise God. That means that when the Spirit of God begins to speak, he's taking that information from a particular database. Look at what Jesus said in verse 14. He said, the Holy Spirit will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, why I'm saying this to you is because you need to understand how this thing works. As it is, the first ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer is to teach you God's word, is to teach you the ways of God, is to teach you the mind of God, is to explain the ways of God to you. What he shows to you should help you develop a better relationship with God. It should help you become close to God. It should help you gain more knowledge, have a better understanding of who God is. That is the first thing. The Holy Spirit is not a soothsayer. The Holy Spirit is not going to prioritize telling you who your husband is or who your wife is or whether she will locate to the USA or China. That's not the first thing. The first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal God to you, is to show you the fatherhood of God, is to show you the sonship of Jesus, is to help you become a true son of the Most High. The second ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring you comfort. Praise God. It's going to bring you comfort because in this world we are going to go through many challenges, we are going to go through many problems. And Jesus put him there to comfort us. He said, I will give another comforter like myself. So everything that Jesus did when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us come into this reality. Excuse me. Now, if you are hearing me now, and what I'm saying now doesn't excite you, then you need to realize that you are not mixing that word with faith. You are not mixing that word with faith. Because what that means is that you don't have to go into the Old Testament and look for an Elijah. You don't need to go into the Old Testament and look for Moses. What I'm saying to you here is that a greater than Moses is here. If you are listening to me, a greater than Elijah is here. Somebody listening to me now, who is more anointed than Elijah? Somebody is listening to me now, who is more anointed than Moses? Somebody is listening to me now, who has the full manifestation of the Spirit far above anything that Moses experienced, far above anything that Elijah experienced, far above anything that Daniel experienced. Somebody is listening to me now, who has gotten the Holy Ghost on his inside. So when we pray and we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are not looking. We are not looking to the skies. We are looking in our spirits, because that's where the Holy Ghost dwells. Now, if you believe what I'm saying, there are some of you that will not need deliverance prayer again. The Holy Spirit is not just a comforter. He is a revealer. He is a revealer. He brings to light those things that are hidden. There are things about your family. There are things about your job. There are things about your marriage. There are things about the next, you know, plan of God for your life that he will bring to light. That is one of his ministries. Hallelujah. The next ministry of the Holy Spirit, and actually like almost like the very first, is like he is the Spirit of Truth. When you are close to the Holy Spirit, he reveals truth to you. There are sometimes someone could be talking to you. Sometimes you may even go to for a meeting somewhere, maybe in a church or in an assembly, and you are listening to something you've probably never heard it before, and the Holy Spirit will be telling you, even though you don't know about what you are hearing, but what I'm saying is true. Listen to that. Listen to that information. He reveals truth to you. You might even be hearing something that is very fantastic, sounds so great, but the Holy Spirit will just say, that's rubbish. Now, let me give you an example. For instance, in the last few years, there's been a growing trend of believers who believe in adopting the ways of witchcraft and the ways of the world in ministering to each other. Let me explain what I mean. There are believers in many parts of the world now who believe in using tarot cards, who believe in yoga. They believe in reading palms. They want to read your palms to see your star, the horoscope. They believe in so many things that we have ascribed to the dark side. And they tell you that as long as they are doing it in trust, they trust the Holy Spirit to guide them through it. They believe, they call themselves love and light. Thank you. They believe in illumination. They have all these fancy words, energy, vibrations. Some of them even lie down on the corpses of old saints of God. Old saints, they believe in very many crazy things. They believe in these things. And when you hear the way they talk, if you are not careful, you'll be swayed. Some of them, I could do an entire teaching on that, and I will show you, I will take one of their books and I will x-ray it for you. These things sound very, very interesting. But the Spirit of Truth begins to tell you, this thing is not me. The Holy Spirit is not an energy. You can't compare the Holy Spirit to the peace of mind you feel when you practice yoga. So when you are in a place where somebody is telling you, oh, I do it, oh, I feel relieved anytime I do it, I'm still a believer, I speak in tongues, God speaks to me, how are you able to discern? Where in an environment where everybody is doing something that is wrong, and yet there's nobody to say, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an energy, the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus refers to him as an E, not just an it. It's a person. Is the third person of the Trinity. So, for you to be able to come into this understanding, you must understand the Holy Spirit as a person. He's a person, like he actually has emotions. That's why the scripture says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be offended. In fact, among the three of them, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we were specifically warned not to grieve him. One of the ways people grieve him is by despising prophecies. Now, how do you engage with your prophecies? Number one, you engage with your prophecies through warfare prayers. Please, not just prayer, warfare prayers. warfare prayers. Paul was talking to his son, and he said that because of the war prophecies that have gone on ahead of thee, he said, this charge I commit unto you, my son Timothy. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. According to the prophecies which went forth, which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. So that means that Paul expects his son to engage in prophetic warfare with those words he has received. And why is that? Because when our Lord Jesus was teaching us about the parable of the sower, the first category of people who received the word, the scripture said the word fell on the wayside. The seed fell on the wayside, and the enemy came coming in like a bird, picked up all those seeds. Now, how do you know somebody who's in that category? Very simple. Based on what our Lord Jesus taught us, everyone who listens to the word of God and forgets it is in that category. Everyone who hears the word of God and does not feel a need to take certain action steps is also in category one. So you don't need to go too far and be asking, oh, where am I? If you have been listening to the message, you go to church every Sunday, you listen, you are in category, and you don't know nothing, you don't do anything about it. You don't even feel any inclination towards what you are hearing. As long as there are people that are not really excited about any message, as long as it is not for them. If I start preaching for a book of Hebrews now, some people don't want to hear nothing. If I go to the book of Revelations now, they don't want to hear nothing. But if I go to Psalms, then some people are excited because you have a lot of prayer points in Psalms. But what Paul was telling us here is that I have given you certain prophetic words. I have given you certain guidances. It is now your responsibility. It is no more the responsibility of Apostle Paul. It is the responsibility of Timothy to war a good warfare. If you say, oh, because my father in the Lord is Apostle Paul, and you despise that instruction, you despise that order, you despise that impartation, and then you cross your leg and you sleep, what happens is that somewhere in between, the prophecy will vanish. The prophecy will become dormant. So one of the ways to engage and activate your prophecy is to engage in warfare prayers. When the prophecy was released and Daniel discovered that, look, the children of Israel were supposed to spend 70 years, Daniel picked that prophecy and started praying. Many of us fail at this point. We receive a prophecy, especially a prophecy that has to do with your life in a very peculiar way. And the next thing we do is we say, oh, we thank God, Jesus is Lord, he has said it, and you go to bed. Listen to me. God spoke to Abraham, I will give you a son. Go and check Abraham. After that initial word, he kept on raising altars. He kept on raising altars for 25 years before he got that son. So you realize that a lazy man cannot walk with prophecy. A lazy man cannot ride on the wings of prophecy. When God speaks, heaven's intention is known. When we pray, heaven's position is secured. It is not enough to know where God is. You must secure that location. You must secure that word. And one of the ways you do that is by warfare prayers. You are going to clear the atmosphere. You are going to clear the atmosphere, clear the second heavens, clear every foundational issue in your family. You are going to pray yourself through. Every time the devil is making you feel discouraged, know that it is because that word is beginning to gain ascendancy. Every time you've been waiting on the Lord and you've been praying, and all of a sudden you begin to feel like, oh, maybe God didn't hear me, you get discouraged, just know that your prayers are touching the target. And that's why the enemy wants you to be discouraged. The enemy wants you to be discouraged so that you will stop praying, and then when you stop praying, the word will just, you go back, you know, because there's no middle, you're either going forward or going backwards. There's no stagnancy. Number two, you engage with your prophecies by keeping these things in your heart. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, I believe. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Let me get that out for you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Look at what, after the angel spoke to, this was after the angel spoke to Mary. The scripture said, Mary kept these things in her heart. And that's the second point I want to give to you. You know, I was sharing with us on Sunday that one of the challenges that Joseph had was that he told his dream too early. He couldn't keep it in his heart and he got into trouble. The second point here is you engage by keeping that prophecy in your heart. There are people that receive a prophetic word and they forget it as soon as they leave the church. There are people that receive a prophetic word. Maybe they are praying with their friends or they went for a meeting somewhere. And they quickly forget. If you know you as someone that, you know, forgets easily, don't just fall under the anointing. Write that thing down. You have a phone, you have a notepad on your phone, or, you know, just try to jot something down on your phone and save the information there. Because many times the information will flow very differently from the way you would try to remember it after, you know, like an hour or two. Mary engaged the prophecy by keeping those things in her heart. That means you live, you sleep, you drink that prophecy. Many years ago, precisely late 1993-94, I received my first assurance of the call of God over my life while in a prayer meeting with some of my friends. And my mentor then, you know, God used him to speak directly into my life, and he made it very clear that in this place God said he has separated two people. I don't know what happened to the other brother. All I know is that everything he said in 1993 is happening right now. So I left that meeting with a divine notion that I had been separated unto God for service. I left there with that meeting. I didn't get it confused. I knew that regardless of where I worked, even if I worked at the United Nations, I would still work for God. I knew it. Now, forget about what your personal intentions are. You may not want to do it. But in your heart, you must behave like Mary. You guide those words jealously in your heart. Because there is no vacuum in the spirit. The devil will sell you another idea. He will sell another information to you if you do not keep these words in your heart. Number three, also in that verse, is that Mary not only kept it in her heart, but she pondered on them. The Bible says she pondered these things in her heart. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. She pondered these things in her heart. So she kept thinking about it. How shall these things be? How shall these things be? The Lord said, He has laid his hand upon me. The Lord said, I will be married. The Lord said I'm going to leave this country. I'm going to relocate abroad. How shall these things be? How shall these things be? Then those things, as you ponder on them, it takes you back into the place of prayers. Don't receive a prophecy and then go home and sleep. You need to trade with it. The scripture said that those who received the word and the word fell on a good ground, those are the people that received the word, they acted on it, they believed it, and then it brought forth result. You need to ponder these things in your heart. You must carry the mindset of the prophecy. If the Lord said, I've anointed you, I'm going to use you all around the world as a diplomat, praise God, that's a prophecy for someone. You are going to be a diplomat all over the world. God is going to send you as an instrument. But he will make your government pay for your flight. You go to different countries. But you represent him. If God says that, you must begin to see yourself like your prophecy. Because you have to believe it before you become it. Praise God. Number four, not only will you engage these prophecies in your heart by keeping them, not only will you ponder on these things, Number four, you must confess it. You must confess your prophecy. Do not talk your reality. Talk your revelation. Do not talk your reality. Confess your revelation. Confess your prophecy. You might be living in a slum. You might be living in a place where there is no guaranteed power supply. You may not even have water supply. You may have to go out and fetch water from another place. But when the word of the Lord comes to you, and you will see the prophet said, "And the word of the Lord came to me once again." The moment God's word comes out, you will notice that what the prophet says next, I'm talking about the Old Testament prophet, they begin to declare what the prophecy says. They don't just keep it in their heart. They begin to speak it forth. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But what you speak, you will become. Don't just say, "Oh, how shall these things be? Even if God should open the windows of heaven, how shall these things be?" There was a man who said that when Israel was having a serious problem with food. And the prophet said to him, he said, "You will see of these things, you will hear of it, but you will not eat." And that's what happened. Because your confession has almost equal power with your prophecy. Your confession has almost equal power with your prophecy. If God tells you are going to be married, you keep declaring it. Don't go into the place of prayer and be asking God, "Why now? When now?" No! You are applying the wrong principle. You go into the place of prayer and you say, "Father, I thank you because I'm married. Father, I thank you for my wedding day. Lord, I thank you for my first child. Lord, I thank you." You begin to thank God because you know he said it and he settles it. You confess the prophetic word. Don't just sit there and cross your leg watching Netflix and asking, "Oh," when you now see somebody that gets maybe married in one of those movies, you just say, "Ah, but God even told me I will marry you. God told me." You mean to tell me that you remember the prophecy while watching Netflix? You mean to tell me that one? Ah, no. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You must confess the prophetic word. You must confess it over life. You must confess it over situation. You must confess it over whatever is going on in your mind. If God says you are healed, you've got to take that word. You've got to speak it and speak it and speak it until your emotions begin to respond, until your body begins to respond. Don't wait to see something change before you believe. Speak it until something happens. Praise God. Number five, how to engage with your prophecy? You've got to pull the faith trigger. You say, "For faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing of God's word." In Luke chapter 1 and verse 45, Mary declared in faith, "Be it unto me according to your word." Praise God. Be it unto me. When the doctor tells you can't have children, you say, "Be it unto me according to the word of the Lord." And what is the word of the Lord? He said, "None shall be barren in the house." Oh, glory. He said, "None shall be barren in the land." Oh, glory. If the enemy tries to tell you, "Oh, you are 35, you are 36, you won't get married," the word of God says, "None shall lack a mate." Praise God forevermore. That means there is a mate, there is a partner that God has apportioned and secured and kept for you. And nobody will take your own partner. The word of God says, "None shall lack a mate." Praise God. So you take that word, you believe it, but for faith to become active, you've got to speak it. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Praise God. "Be it unto me according to your word." I know I'm feeling something in my body, but "be it unto me according to your word." I know they said I'm overqualified, or I'm past the age of somebody who could get a job in this company, but "be it unto me according to your word." I know they said in my family people don't get married and stay married. People don't marry. Nobody's doing anything serious. People are backward. Nobody's prosperous. But "be it unto me according to your word." What does God's word say? He said, "God delights in the prosperity of his servants." Hallelujah. God is more committed to your prosperity than Satan is to his own children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, is somebody believing this word now? If somebody believe, you've got to find God's word and put it upon your lips. It is only when it is spoken it becomes active. So when you keep these words in your heart, what you are doing is that you are incubating upon it. When you ponder upon them, you are allowing the incubation process to go on. But when you begin to speak it, it becomes active. Hallelujah. The word of God is active. Come on, declare the word of God is active in my mouth. Declare the word of God is active in my life. Declare the word of God is not dead. Every word that God has spoken concerning me, concerning my life, concerning my destiny, every word that the heavens have spoken, it will come to pass. It will not fail. It will come to pass. God's word will not be aborted. The word of the Lord shall gain ascendancy over my life, over my family, over my children, over this ministry, over my business, over my career. The word of God will not fail. Oh, Balika Duzudia. Oh, Rekada Balia. He said, for he said to us in Mark chapter 11, he said, whatsoever things that you desire, he said, when you pray, he said, believe that you've received them, and you shall have what you say. Now, I want to give you 1 minute to declare right now. I want you to open your mouth wherever you are connecting from and begin to reaffirm. Begin to reaffirm God's word concerning you. Begin to reaffirm God's word concerning you. Don't take no for an answer. God spoke to you. That word will come to pass and it will not delay. Glory to God. God's word will not delay in your life. God's word will not be aborted in your life. No man will take your testimony from you. No man will take your place in God. God's word is reaching deep into your heart and lifting you out of the dunghill and putting you in a place with princes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's word will not fail. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. I may be a virgin, I may not be married, but be it unto me according to your word. I may not be qualified for this miracle, I may not be the first choice, I may not be the choice candidate, but be it unto me according to your word. Even though things are very tight around me, even though I don't have money around me, even though it seems that I'm in a corner, I'm in a tight corner, but be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Even though the doctor said this, even though the nurse said that, oh, they say you can't have a baby. Oh, they said, oh, you need to have a surgery. But the devil is a liar. Be it unto me according to your word. There are people that whenever something good happens to them, then they will call them back and say, oh, we changed our mind. People have sat for interviews and they told them the pastor, and all of a sudden nobody reached out to them anymore. The devil is a liar. Be it unto me according to your word. If God says it, I believe it. That settles it. Put God's word in your mouth. Declare you are getting married. Declare you are getting a better offer. Declare God's will is being done in your life. Declare you are not a failure. Declare you are getting a better deal. Open your mouth and declare that you are the favor of the Lord. That God's favor is upon you. That your prophecy, every word God spoke to you, while you waited on him, while you were in church, wherever it was you received that word, in the bus, declare it now. Be it unto me according to your word. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. There is another aspect I want to quickly broach before I will call it a day. It is important for you as a believer to test every word. It is important for you as a believer to test every spirit. There are people that are carrying prophecies, or they believe something and it wasn't from God. They received something, but it was not from God. And many became upset. And they became upset because, according to them, God spoke and he didn't deliver. It is important to test and authenticate the revelations you receive in order to ascertain that it is from the Lord. What I am telling you here is your advantage in the marketplace. What I'm telling you here is your advantage over witches and witchcraft and forces of darkness. Hallelujah. When I was working in the bank and they wanted to retrench, this was like about 9 years ago, or 10 years ago, and they were like, oh, Benga, you'll be asked to go. That's what my boss said to me. She said, you'll be asked to go. said, because I'm connected. She said to me she was connected. I was, you know, I could even care less. The job was even quite kind of a bit stressing. So I really wanted to leave. But when I was serving in Sokoto, the Lord said to me in that classroom, He said, for I will send you to Lagos, you will serve me in the ministry, and you will work in the bank. That's what He said. It was very clear. I didn't study accounting, financial management. It was in the bank I learned everything. I just wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a lecturer. I just wanted to be a professor and wear my t-shirt and knicker. And they say, look at that young guy, he's a professor. I like that kind of life. You know, you can travel the world and see the world, see Paris and die. That's what I wanted. I didn't want to be doing one job that they just come the next day, they tell you there's no job again. And if you're in Nigeria, you can even go on strike as a lecturer and you still get paid. It's a good job. When that lady said to me, you are going to be relieved of this job, I didn't fret, because it was by a word of prophecy that I came here. So I didn't fret. Eventually she was asked to go. Your prophecy is your security. Your prophecy is what you can use to exchange in the realm of the spirit. When the enemy tries to pull you down, you tell him, I heard from God. You can't do anything about it. I'm going to have my baby. I'm going to have my baby. It's going to be a normal delivery. I'm going to have my baby. You are helpless over this matter. Satan, you are helpless over my next level. Satan, you are helpless over my marriage. Satan, you are helpless over my wedding. You are come. I have heard from heaven. I have heard from God. You are completely helpless over this matter. But it is important to be sure that you heard God. Many fail this test, and that is why they are many times manipulated or confused. Now, how do we look into this matter? Let me say, I just rushed through it. Maybe on another day, I'll come back and I'll address it properly. In order to be able to test the revelations and the word that you are hearing, the first thing is that you must be a lover of the presence of God. The first thing to be able to test our spirit is that you must be a lover of the presence of God. In order for that word you received to be able to react properly in the spirit realm, you need to take it back into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, synthesize it with his own chemicals. You must be a lover of the presence of God. That's the first thing. You want to test every prophecy. You want to test every word. You need to bring it into the presence of God. Number two, in order to be able to test God's word accurately, God's word must take root in your heart. In order to be able to test a prophetic word, whether it's from God or from Satan, that the word of God must take root. Paul was teaching us in Colossians. He said, let the word of God abide in you richly. Let the word of God abide in you richly. Paul said to his son, if you give attention to these things, he said, you say your profiting will appear to all. It was also documented in scripture. He said that it is possible for a believer to be spiritually barren. Peter was talking to us about this. He said, to your faith, add virtue. And the guy said, if you do all these things, you will not be barren. God's word must take root. You must be a lover of God's word. You must be a lover. You can get audio Bibles. You listen on your way to work in traffic. You can download messages by the Spirit of God. I mean, and just let the Holy Spirit guide you as you meditate and listen to God's word. You can sleep with God's word on. Hallelujah. You are in bed. You are not listening to some strange music. You leave God's word on. You leave some godly music on. The atmosphere is saturated. Let God's word take root. I didn't say let it be planted. I said let it take root. When it takes root, it begins to control your life. Then you make a marital decision, not because he is a guy that is available, but because you can see a similitude of the word of God in him. Number three, how do we know if it is God's word? It will be met with opposition. Our Lord Jesus taught us, and he said, Affliction shall arise for the word's sake. That means when you are hearing God's word, when God has spoken to you, Satan will fight it. God's word is not a feel-good message. Satan will fight it. It will be met with resistance. If it's not the devil, it will be okay. There will not be anything. How do I know if it is God that is speaking to me? Allow time, process that revelation. There are certain things God will say to you, you may not be able to do anything about it as at that time. Whether I heard God or not, I must allow time to process it. I put that revelation under God. Let's see what, I mean, when God spoke to me and said, oh, you are going to serve me, you are going to move to Lagos, you are going to work in a bank. After that season, I moved to Ile-Ife. I didn't even move to Lagos. I moved to Ife. And I started a postgraduate program. I didn't just take my bags and move to Lagos. Even though it was the word of the Lord, but the time of that word had not come. And this issue of timing, not being patient enough to allow time, process it, to process revelation, is why many prophecies become dormant. It looks as if God did not speak. Oh, come on, I don't know if I'm helping anyone this evening. Just type something. If you are getting blessed, just type something. We're going to be done in like 3 minutes. Just go ahead. If you are getting some value, I want you to go ahead and type something. Find your keypad quickly, quickly. Allow time to process. Allow time to process that revelation. God's word will not fail. God's word will not fail. Allow time. If it's God, time will work for you. If it's God, time will work for you. Don't go to a sister and say, you heard God. Allow her to also hear God. Don't threaten nobody. Don't threaten nobody. God spoke to you. Allow her to hear God. It's as simple as ABC. Don't go to your potential employer and say, God told me to come here. Then I will also tell you, God told me to usher you out. Allow time to process it. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can give you one more. Can you find God in that revelation? Can you find God in that revelation? God told me she's my wife. But probably just because she's a slave queen. There are some people that can't hear God clearly once they see a slave queen. All their spiritual receptacles will go offline. If the lady is from a particular part of the southeast, you suddenly cannot hear God again. If the lady is from New Jersey, New York, or the New Zealand, yeah, you can't hear God because the word God gave you for the year was, this is a year of new things. You need to be... Oh, glory. Can you see God in that revelation? Or is it just something you like? New Orleans. Some people only hear new things. They don't hear, go back to Bethel. They don't hear things like that. They only hear new things. That thing you say you are that God said to you. Is there anything about God? A year of new things. A year of joy. People are hearing a year of joy. You are not hearing, go back to Bethel. You have lost your first love. People don't hear that kind of stuff. This thing you said God said. The reason why many cannot hear God when they see a particular brother is because God is not there. Because the moment God is there, God's voice will be amplified. The moment God's voice is in a place, God's voice will be amplified. Praise God. I still have about 4 points under that, but I will have to stop here. I want you to pray for yourself in 1 minute and ask that God will amplify these words in your heart, that these words will rest in your spirit, that the Holy Ghost will take these words and explain them better to you. Listen to me, as simple as this message is, many people cannot boast of this experience. And it is our right in Christ. This is why Jesus came. Receive grace today in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to be an accurate hearer of the word of the Lord. Receive grace to be guided by the voice of God. Receive grace to walk in the spirit of truth. Receive grace to walk in the spirit of accuracy. In the name of Jesus, that your feet and your steps will be ordered by the Lord. In the name of Jesus, it is your right. It is your right. For the end, the last day church is a prophetic church. He said, in the last day, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My sons and daughters will prophesy. Glory to God. It is your right. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. Go back to Facebook. Go to my page. Or go to YouTube page. To YouTube. Type my name, Benga Shafe. Listen to the message again. Listen to it with someone. And bring out your questions. Hallelujah. If I get some feedback from me, I could do an extra teaching. But believe me, this is one of the areas. This issue of knowing what to do with prophecies, how to ensure these prophecies come to pass, is one of the areas many believers have struggled with. Pay attention to these words, that your prophecy may appear to all. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't just hear these words. Pay attention to them. Ponder these words in your heart. Keep them in your spirit, said the Lord. He said, your prophecy will appear to all. Your prophecy is not just the direct result of obedience. Your prophecy is God's commitment to your obedience. Hallelujah. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.